fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 6th day of June. D-Day, 74 years ago today, the largest amphibious invasion in modern history. 6th day of June, 1944. The Allied invasion at Normandy Beach in France. A couple of good films you might want to consider watching. One is Saving Private Ryan. Very well done movie. Another one that was done only about 20 years after the event, The Longest Day, starring John Wayne. They're both pretty well done films. A great book you might want to read is also titled The Longest Day. The author is Cornelius Ryan, R-Y-A-N. The Longest Day, written by Cornelius Ryan. A lot of sacrifices made that day. A lot of sacrifices, and I don't think the French are nearly appreciative enough, in my opinion. That's a proper tip of the day, is to remember D-Day. We have patient waiting in the green room, my friend, Jeff Nyquist. Jeff Nyquist, his website is jrnyquist.com. Jeff is a gentleman who began a quest more than 20 years ago to begin a comprehensive understanding of the true nature of the threat posed by international communism, and he's become quite good at it, one of the best men I know when it comes to understanding the true threat of international communism and how it affects our lives every day and affects our future. Good morning, Jim. Jeff, excuse me.
Good morning. Good morning, John.
Well, it is D-Day, isn't it, sir?
It is, and it's very funny because I've been researching, the thing I'm starting to write now, which the first part I'm not done with yet, which I hope to be by today, but I didn't, is about, it is centered on World War II and about the role of Soviet agents in manipulating our strategy during the war. And of course, D-Day is part of that, because Stalin would have had us land not in 1944, but in 1942. And of course, luckily we were, our generals, well, the British generals especially, were smart enough not to want to land in 1942, because we would have been wiped out.
Oh, yes.
But that's what Stalin wanted, because he didn't like the idea that we would have to be able to share half of Europe with him. He wanted all of Europe.
Of course.
And, and his agents helped him get the half that he got. But it's the role of General Marshall that interests me. And I have a little story about General Marshall, which I found in from congressional testimony from after the war from a man named Eugene Dooman, who was the head of the Japan desk at the State Department. And it's the story of how General Marshall stopped the war from ending in May of 1945. Well, it ended in Europe there, but not against Japan. They had come up with a surrender document that the State Department had approved for Japan. A group of psychological warfare officers working with Japanese prisoners had come up with it and showed it to the State Department as early as March 1945. And they got to see President Truman on May 28, 1945, and President Truman loved it. He loved the surrender proposal. And he said, there's only one problem. You have to get it past the Secretary of War, Mr. Stimson. So the very next day, an able officer who presented it, along with Mr. Dooman, went to see Secretary of War Stimson. Well, inside Stimson's office was 10 or 12 generals, including General George Marshall, and the head of the Office of War Information, James Forrestal, the Assistant Secretary of War, and, of course, Secretary of War Stimson. And Stimson loved the document. He even named some Japanese politicians who would make the ideal prime minister. James Forrestal loved the document, and so on, until the head of the Office of War Information, Elmer Davies, I don't know if you remember who that was.
Not really, no.
But Edward R. Murrow was his protege, and he was sort of the Walter Cronkite of his era. He was a radio news broadcaster and newspaper man who ended up being the head of the Office of War Information, which, of course, was a very put out a lot of pro-Soviet propaganda during the war and was criticized. Later, they found that it was full of Russian spies, full of communist spies. Anyway, Elmer, when this document was approved by all these people, Elmer Davies got up and he threw a kind of fit, saying that, you know, we couldn't let the emperor off the hook and we shouldn't make peace with Japan like this. And then that was the cue for General Marshall to say, well, you know, let's just, you know, it's premature to talk about, you know, asking Japan to surrender. Let's put this document aside. So the document was put aside for 2 months from May 29th to July 29th, 1945, when it was then integrated into the Potsdam Declaration.
Jeff? Did we lose Jeff? Is Jeff gone? Jeff, we can't hear you, sir. Something happened. Okay. I don't know, Jeff, if you can hear me. We need to reconnect. Something's going on here. Along the same lines, there's a book that it's been in my library since 1999. The title of it is Unrestricted Warfare, China's Master Plan to Destroy America. It's written by two colonels in the People's Liberation Army. Colonel Kuo Liang and Wang Zhangsu. I'm not real good at pronouncing Chinese names. This book was somehow recovered by the CIA and then translated into English. This updated edition has some new things in it that maybe I should go ahead and get. It's 272 pages. Paperback is $15 on Amazon. Jeff, are you back, sir? We lost you for a moment there.
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened.
Okay, well, let's continue where we left off.
Okay, where did you last hear me?
Yeah.
You were talking about the communists
who were infiltrated the Department of Defense in World War II.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, at this meeting, which Duman testified about, George Marshall had them set aside the surrender offer to Japan for 2 months. And that was in those 2 months the Battle of Okinawa happened, where 13,500 Americans died and countless tens of thousands were wounded. And, of course, hundreds of thousands of Japanese died. But the interesting thing is the reason for prolonging the war, the only reason, because the Japanese were ready to surrender right then, was to get the Russians into the war and so that they could take over Manchuria and turn northern China over to Mao.
Really?
Yeah. And then when you consider the Marshall mission to China, where he basically destroyed Chiang Kai-shek's political position in China, you know, internationally and strategically, it all fits.
You're saying that it was General Marshall, was he knowingly complicit in destroying General Chiang Kai-shek?
Well, how do you know what a person knows? But he was the only person to, you know, the president, the State Department, and everybody in the Defense Department basically had approved the surrender idea, the surrender offer of keeping the emperor. They'd approved that in this meeting in May 29th, and the only person to say no was Marshall. And for some reason, Marshall had the authority, and they put it aside when he said put it aside in the meeting. And why would he? Would the president approve this? The Secretary of War approved it. The assistant secretaries approved it. Everybody was desperate for peace. You know, it's May 1945. Germany has just surrendered earlier that month. Why not make peace with Japan now? But he got them to put it aside for 2 months, which allowed the Russians to get into the war to invade Manchuria, which they did more than 2 months later, and of course hand over all the Japanese military equipment there to Mao Zedong.
Well, the course of history would have been dramatically different if peace had been made with Japan in May of 1945, wouldn't it, sir?
There would be no North Korea today. It would not exist.
The Korean communists were provided with those weapons as well. Is that what you're saying, sir?
Well, yes, eventually, that's correct. North Korea was created because of that. And China ultimately became communist because of that. And, of course, all of these things cost a lot of American lives. In the Korean War, the Vietnam War, there wouldn't have been a communist Vietnam because there wouldn't have been a communist China north of it to send supplies through to it. So it's staggering to think, you know, 100,000 more American lives lost, let alone the 13,000 lives lost at Okinawa because they extended the war those 2 months. And of course, they were proposing, as you know, to invade Japan itself, which would have been horrifically bloody.
It would have been. And I may not be sitting. My father was on Okinawa. If we had invaded Japan, almost without a doubt, he would have been there. And the likelihood of him surviving it was greatly diminished, obviously. The Japanese defending their homeland would have been absolute warriors that would have fought to their last breath. It would have been horrendous.
Yeah. And of course, the Okinawa battle, of all those island battles, was the bloodiest battle in the Pacific War for us. And
it
happened after this. It largely happened after this surrender was passed up.
Amazing.
So I think
amazing.
Yeah.
Has anyone really looked into General Marshall and were his loyalties really were really his loyalties?
Well, as it might happen, Senator Joseph McCarthy did, and McCarthy called him into question. He said he made up a list, which he delivered a speech in 1951, in which he said, these are the things that General Marshall has done, and there is a conspiracy going on in this country. What we can't tell who's part of it or not, but this is what General Marshall has done, and it needs to be explained, basically. And he talked about Marshall's China mission. He talked about Marshall wanting to do the battle. We talk about D-Day today. He wanted to do this invasion in 42, which was really a horrible idea. Who would want to push us into an invasion in 42? But Marshall wanted that. Marshall was against operating in the Mediterranean. He was against what the British wanted to do. He had strange ideas about the use of paratroopers, which might have killed a lot of people if they'd been allowed. A lot of Marshall's military thinking was vetoed by other generals who, you know, did probably realize they were going to kill a lot of people if they did it that way. And, of course, George Marshall was on the Germany First thing. When Japan had attacked us, he wanted to send troops to attack Germany, not Japan. And, of course, again, who was being invaded right then? It was the Soviet Union and Stalin that was being invaded. So he needed to be rescued as soon as possible, and it was Marshall who wanted to rescue him sooner than we actually did, and with more and more. So it's an interesting story. And, of course, one of the things that people hold against Joseph McCarthy was this, that he had this speech against Marshall. But the speech is valid. Everything in the speech is true. And the questions he asked should be asked. I don't know if Marshall's a communist agent, but this story about the surrender is horrifying because you are a steward over the whole American army. And one of the biggest, worst battles in American history, the Battle of Okinawa, where the army had to call in the Marine Corps to finish the battle because they couldn't, because it was so bloody, because the army was so, you know, it was so horrific. It's to try to understand it. How in your mind? I mean, Marshall knew exactly what he was doing. He was prolonging the war. He knew Americans were going to die. He knew the Japanese were ready to surrender. He had the psychological warfare officer who was working with Japanese prisoners telling him. And yet he wanted to prolong the war. It's premature. And that's how he used his authority as a general. It's a shocking story.
Yeah. It's shocking. And it's very disturbing that the American government, the American people, allowed somebody to get in that kind of position who did not have our best interest at heart. That's very disappointing. And I'm very disappointed. That's very upsetting there, Jeff.
Yeah, it is disappointing and upsetting. And I couldn't believe it. I was reading up on Marshall because I was looking at this. Another researcher got me interested in it, and I went for a couple weeks, and I wasn't sure how I was going to write it or what I was going to find about Marshall. But you can imagine my eyes bugged out of my head when I read this.
I can imagine.
From Mr. Newman. Yeah.
Hold that thought, Jeff. We got a break. Call number is 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
Oh, Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. It's taken 3 years before I could offer the Intershelter domes for sale. During those 3 years, several different governments and militaries were taking all their production. The Intershelter dome homes may be just what you've been looking for to provide affordable, energy-efficient, permanent, and attractive housing. These dome homes are prefabricated units that can be assembled in a few hours by two men with a ladder and simple hand tools. Check out the photos of these dome homes built in the Arctic, on tropical beaches, in suburban areas, and in forests. All the details, many photographs, and the pricing of the dome homes are listed on the left-hand side of my homepage at thelibertyman.com. I think you'll find these homes are not only attractive, but they're energy efficient and a bonus. You can disassemble them and reassemble them as many times as you feel you need the need to. Pretty great, huh? Something that's very, very unique. Check them out at my website at thelibertyman.com. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 6th day of June, D-Day, visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.com, linked on my links page at thelibertyman.com. Jeff, we got a caller on hold here. We got Michael in New York. Good morning, Michael.
Yes, good morning, J.R. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks again, guys, for great show and great information. I'm going to fill in a few gaps here that's going to even tick us all off even more. Pertaining to this topic, I was on History Channel a few years ago. I only seen it once. I watched that. That's the only thing I really watch if I turn on that boob tube. I don't think I've ever seen that aired again. And it was after World War II, just prior to the Korean War in Britain. They're showing how British scientists were playing billiards with Russian scientists. So right off the bat, I sit up like, oh, they're communists. What do you mean they're in Britain playing billiards? They're our enemy. And so they, after the billiard match, they actually state that since the Russian communists, or the Soviet communists, were unable to acquire the jet engine after World War II, which we had, and they had, the Brits had, from the Nazi scientists we took, they decided to give the communist scientists, going back to Soviet Union, their Rolls-Royce jet engine. Then the commentator on History Channel then says, little did they realize that just 2 years later we'd be fighting that jet engine in a MiG fighter over the Korean skies. Basically, I paraphrase that. And I'm like, right in our face, people, anybody paying attention? This is all pre-planned. Jeff, this is what everything you're highlighting is showing, how they're pre-planning further down the road more wars of aggression against us and destroying more Americans, shedding more American blood for no reason but to spread communism and to undermine our constitutional republic and its influence around the globe, which was phenomenal after World War II, right? We were highly respected everywhere right after World War II. And so there you have that, guys, right there in our face. We are constantly being undermined, our secrets being stolen to support an enemy, right up to Red China today. And last, real quick, even on History Channel about 2 years ago, they actually stated, under discussing Operation Paperclip to some degree, how they brought over a Nazi scientist, I believe it was Lieutenant Traub, who specialized in biological warfare, and he was his job was pretty much infecting ticks. The plan was to infect the cattle in Russia to kill off the people. And so they brought him over. They set him up at Plum Island. His specialty was infecting ticks, Lyme disease, major epidemic today. Right in our face.
Amazing.
Admitting
I got a follow-up on what you just said there, Michael. I did not know that Rolls-Royce engines were in big jet fighters in the Korean War, on one hand. On the other, if your jet fighters have your engines of your jet fighters have to have technical support and spare parts from the manufacturer to keep those things flying. Otherwise, they won't fly very long, which means Rolls-Royce engines in Russian fighters in the Korean War had to have daily technical support and spare parts from Rolls-Royce in England. Otherwise, they wouldn't stay in the air more than a few weeks.
Great, great, more definitely great points. I mean, it's right in our face, gentlemen. And last, real quick, you know, in the 60s, I recall, when California was a breadbasket of the world, we were supplying Soviet Union with a lot of food because they were starving. They were literally starving over there. I recall talking with a fellow scientist from IBM years later in the 90s when we were water commissioners for the town we lived in. And after a meeting one day, we were talking about some trade stuff from IBM. And he said that he went over to Russia in the mid-80s for a symposium, a technical symposium. And the Russian people, very nice, down-to-earth like all of us. After the symposium, he was invited to a house, you know, with a lot of guests, and for dinner. But the Russians were so embarrassed because everything was set up for dinner, but there wasn't any dinner because there wasn't any food, literally no food. So everybody out there listening, thinking communism is great, you'll starve to death. And so we were sending food to Soviet Union through the 60s and 70s all the time, feeding them while we're fighting them in Vietnam and everything else, gentlemen. This is how outrageous it is with the treason from those occupying seats of power in our government that should be taken out and hung for treason.
Okay, Michael, thank you for the call. Let's have some follow-up from Jeff. Jeff, Michael put some interesting information there. Do you have any follow-up, sir?
Yeah, well, you know, Britain and the United States, there were a lot of communists in positions of high power, and they were influencing policy. You have people in the United States State Department like Elger Hiss, and in the Treasury Department like Harry Dexter White. And there were dozens of, I mean, the investigations that took place in Venona, there were over 500 agents who have been able to identify since the war through interception and decoding the traffic. And these are people in government positions.
Hold that thought,
you know,
Jeff.
The government
Hold
is
that
huge,
thought.
Obviously, but yeah.
Hold that thought. We got a break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our Energy Cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner, $70 off retail, and a mattress pad, 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the Energy Cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get Energy Cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard, and we wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendova.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 6th day of June, D-Day. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. You'll find interesting documents there, things that you can download and read to educate yourself. Special notice there at my website for the upcoming event in Dallas, Texas, Operation Classified. Sponsored by John B. Wells, radio show Caravan of Midnight. I will be one of the speakers. Look forward to seeing a lot of you there. Also, my website, of course, Energy Cleaners for Sale. This is my home business. I'm helping hundreds of people get their life back. If you have arthritis pain, you need an energy cleaner. You have joint pain, back pain, you also need an energy cleaner. Not getting a great night's sleep. That's what the Energy Cleaner does, is help you get a great night's sleep. Only $285 shipping included. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 90-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. The mattress pads are going to vary in price depending on what you want. We've got the twin size, full, queen, king, California king, the handy travel size, right there for sale also at my website at thelibertyman.com. I do take PayPal, the most secure way to make any payment online. PayPal also makes take payments if you live in the USA. You need to spread those dollar amount over a few months. And, of course, I have a toll-free hour line 24 hours a day. Here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 592-9543. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.com. It's linked to my links page at thelibertyman.com. Jeff, we got a caller on hold here. We got John in California. Good morning, John.
Hello there, John Moore and Jeff Nyquist. Thanks for taking my call. And look, I lost a little bit in the translation there, Jeff, when your phone cut out. And I'm trying to figure out about the surrender memorandum that you were talking about. And was that prepared by the higher echelons of the U.S. military, or did it actually come from the Japanese?
No, it came from the Hawaii Psychological Warfare Unit. They
so part of the U.S. military, right?
Captured U.S. military, U.S. Navy. The head officer there, whose name eludes me at the moment, he went to see in March of 1945, the Assistant Secretary of State about it. And the Assistant Secretary of State arranged a meeting with, then later with President Truman, because President Roosevelt died in April of 45. So the Psychological Warfare Unit of the U.S. Pacific Command was worked on the problem of how to get Japanese soldiers on the islands to surrender in the battles.
Right.
And they ended up doing an amazing job, because the Japanese didn't want to surrender at all. Those soldiers, I think at the Battle of Tarawa, there was one Japanese prisoner, you know, but then later, you know, they were able to get officers to surrender with groups of soldiers, and that was largely their unit's work.
Okay. Well, then I've got a little thing to add here that makes everything sound even worse, because it was in January of 1945. MacArthur was headed back to the States to be at some meeting with the president, and the Japanese, who were running the country, you know, the war people, so-called, had put together a 40-page surrender memorandum, and had sent it to MacArthur, and someone in MacArthur's staff had leaked this to two newspapers in this country. One was the Chicago Tribune, a columnist by the name of Walter Trohan. The title of his daily column was called the In the Wake of the News, and there was one other newspaper. I don't know if it was the Washington Post or the Washington Times, but anyway, Trohan was instructed by his hierarchy at the Chicago Tribune to not make it public, because they had a deal with the U.S. military not to release any sensitive data for 7 months. And it was a voluntary thing, but they decided to go along with it. So that's where, ever after that is where the Okinawa and Tarawa were fought. And now this this memoranda, it's available online, and it's mentioned in a book that came out in the year 2000, written by a man named Robert Stinnett, S-T-I-N-N-E-T-T. The title of the book is Day of Deceit, and he covers a lot of this. Now, it was even worse than that, because In this book, Mr. Stinnett goes into a little bit about the conclusions of the Battle of Midway. This was the first battle in which the Japanese lost most of their carriers. There was one other battle that was in late 1942, and then there was another battle in early 43. And I'm not sure if it was the Battle of Leyte Gulf or not. I don't quote me on that, but there was another battle. And after that, the Japanese realized that not only were they not going to be able to defeat the Americans, but they were going to lose. And that's when they started sending peace feelers to the State Department in the United States, which just summarily, you know, dismissed it. They didn't want any part of any peace feelers. You know, Japan had to pay a price for their terrible assault on Pearl Harbor. And so the war could have ended a lot sooner. The enemy is already defeated, and anyone who does either gets this book and or does a browser search on Walter Trohan, Chicago Tribune, Japanese surrender memorandum, will find out a lot about what I'm just talking about right now. So the war could have been much sooner.
Yes. Yes, that's very true.
I'm sorry, and one more thing. They didn't just stop with sending peace feelers to the U.S. State Department. They sent them to European country state departments when they knew they were being ignored by the U.S. government. And there are records of all of this, too.
I recommend Stinnett's book, too. In fact, there's a very interesting part in the book about George Marshall's responsibility for Pearl Harbor, which is really interesting in the book.
Well. One of the most interesting part I found, Jeff, was that the center of Pacific Command had always been, prior to World War II, in San Diego, and part of Roosevelt's scheme to get the Japanese to attack the U.S. United States was to start sticking his thumb in the eye of the Japanese. One of them. Well, a major thing he did, which was really an act of war, he cut off their oil supplies from Indonesia, and then on top of that, he moved the Pacific Command headquarters from San Diego to Pearl Harbor. So that would really, stick his thumb in the eye of the Japanese, because here they are, the U.S. government, Navy would be, carrying on their own exercises and so forth, and the Pacific, the Pacific Fleet would be way out there, pretty close to Japan. And that would make things more difficult for the Japanese war machine. That happened in early 1941, and before Husband Kimmel, the scapegoat of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, came into play. He was appointed admiral out there sometime in March or April of 41, and he never asked the obvious question as to what happened to the previous admiral. I think his last name was Anderson, I'm not sure, but that's also in this book. And this guy Anderson, I just use that name, it could be a different name, slightly different name, but he complained privately to Roosevelt, first of all, that Pearl Harbor was a terrible place for the head of the Pacific Command, because it's available, available to attack 360 degrees in the, from the sky, and there'd be no defense against an air attack. And when he saw it wasn't working with his private complaints to Roosevelt, he went public, and Roosevelt demoted him, and I don't know if he took away his pension or whatever, I don't know, but he was fired, and that's when they put in this guy Husband Kimmel. And I have never been able to find out anything whether Husband Kimmel, why he would not have asked what happened to the previous guy either.
Anyway, he knew. There's no doubt that he knew. Of course he knew.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, thank you very much, gentlemen.
John, thank you.
Good show today.
We appreciate it. Okay. Interesting calls we're getting here, Jeff. Do you have any response to what John was saying?
Yeah, well, that book, Stinnett's book on Pearl Harbor, we broke the Japanese diplomatic code before the attack. We didn't break their military code, but the diplomatic code, we had it that morning, the morning of Pearl Harbor in Washington, hours before the attack, 3 hours before the attack. And the code showed that the Japanese were going to destroy their code machines at 1 p.m. Washington time. And the military officers in the intelligence branches realized that 1 p.m. Washington time in those days was 7:30 a.m. Hawaii time. And so they sent that to President Roosevelt and to George Marshall. And George Marshall tried to delay sending a message. And there was testimony about this after the war, but General Marshall then supposedly, he sent four messages to the Western Command in San Francisco, to the Caribbean Command in Panama, to MacArthur in the Philippines, but the message to the Hawaii Command, to General Short, never arrived there. And there was investigations as to why General Short didn't get this warning that Marshall then after delaying and delaying, had finally sent, I think, something like about an hour before the attack. But as you know, when you're talking about fighter airplanes, if you can get fighters in the air, if you just have an hour's warning, and there was some kind of, as I understand it, a technical excuse that somehow the cable message did not reach Hawaii because of a problem in San Francisco. But, you know, nobody ever got to the bottom of it.
The question, I haven't really dwelled or studied the attack on Pearl Harbor in any detail, but one of my many questions is, who ordered the radar to be turned off at 7 a.m. in Pearl Harbor?
At
7 a.m. they literally shut down the radar and went and had breakfast, and then left nobody on duty. And the war drums were beating. It was no secret that war was coming. This was pretty common knowledge, even at fairly low ranks in Pearl Harbor. We got a caller on hold. We got John in Tennessee. Good morning, John.
Good morning, John. Good morning, John. I just tuned in, but I take it you're talking about Pearl Harbor. The book that came out by a Pulitzer Prize-winning author named John Tolan, that's called Infamy, Pearl Harbor and Its Aftermath. In that book, he makes it very clear that Kimmel and Short both knew they had actually removed the aircraft and the ships from Pearl and were commanded by Roosevelt to put them back. Your friend, my friend, I don't know if you know Ralph, but my friend Ralph Epperson actually on his website has a headline banner page from the Hilo Hawaii newspaper dated November 30th, 1941, with a banner headline that says Japan may attack over the weekend, the following weekend.
Right.
So the Hawaii newspaper knew, Kimmel and Short knew, and were ordered to take the aircraft and the ships back into Pearl Harbor because it was necessary. Roosevelt didn't tell them, but Roosevelt had a second cousin named Winston Churchill who needed America in the war. It's as simple as that. It was a false flag, surprise, day of infamy, baloney attack in order to get America into a war in Europe to fight the Japanese. And they did exactly what they did in the Gulf War. We're going to go get the Japanese, but we have to go to France and Germany and Italy, and we'll get to Japan eventually. Don't worry, boys. 4 years later, two bombs later, they attacked Japan. So it is what it is, John. And it's been that way forever. And we don't learn from history, so we're doomed to repeat it.
It seems like it. Okay, John, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. I've also read, Jeff, that the British captured an intact, workable Enigma machine from a German submarine. And consequently, they intercepted the orders for the attack on Pearl Harbor. And what I read is that John Kennedy's father was given, he was the ambassador to London at the time, was given the message and personally hand-carried the date and time of the attack on Pearl Harbor and delivered to Franklin Roosevelt before it happened, obviously. So it was not a surprise attack, at least not for President Roosevelt, was it, Jeff? Jeff?
Hello, Jeff. Interesting. Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay.
I'm right here. That's a very interesting. You know, I think I'm going to get John Tolan's book. That reference on Pearl Harbor, I want to find that too. He set a site by his friend Epperson. Do you know that site?
Ralph Epperson, yeah, I've interviewed Ralph on this show. It's been a number of years ago, but Ralph is a credentialed historian, and I'll get you a link for his website, Jeff.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, I really want to find that fact. That is a really good one, because I'm right now I am researching this, and so it is. There are many surprising things. And General Marshall, that morning, Pearl Harbor, it was General Marshall and Walter Bettles Smith, who was not at that time yet a general, but he became Eisenhower's assistant
assistant, and you know that Bettel Smith fell under suspicion of being a Soviet spy in 1953 by the FBI. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but here's Ralph's website. It's ralph-epperson.com. Ralph-epperson.com. It's E-P-P-E-R-S-O-N. Ralph-epperson.com. Ralph's a real deal. He's getting up there in age, but he's done some excellent work, and he also mentions some things about my war, the Vietnam War, that are very disturbing and very alarming as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you have communists, you know, here you have, it was Walter Bettel Smith who first got the intelligence on behalf of Marshall on December 7th. And when you find that he fell under suspicion as a Soviet agent in 53, and that when he died, they found, Smith died, I believe it was 1961, they found top secret documents in his house. Now, that's strictly against the law.
Right. He was a communist spy. Here's our break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
The 6th day of June, D-Day, visiting with Jeff Nyquist. The website's jrnyquist.com, and there's a link at my links page at thelibertyman.com. Jeff, we've covered a lot of territory today. We always do. I know you're writing a new article for publication on your website. Any closer to being ready to publish?
Well, yeah, it's going to be long. It might even end up being a book, but next week I'm going to have the first part out. I've got it about halfway written now, but this is such a huge story, you can only tell it in bits and pieces. So it involves a lot of research. And
okay.
There
All
is
right.
Understood. A lot of stuff in the congressional investigations.
Understood. Well, we're looking forward to reading it. I know I'm looking forward to reading it. And there's a book that Ralph Epperson wrote. I got my first copy of it, I think, about 1986. It literally changed my life. It was published in 1982 by Ralph Epperson. The title of it is The Unseen Hand, An Introduction into the Conspiratorial View of History. What Ralph does is document American history, primarily going back to about the Revolutionary War period. And being the professional historian he is, he has about 20 pages of footnotes going back to original source material, which is very important. And that book literally changed my life because I understood things that I thought were inadvertent and had just happened as a matter of natural course, but turned out to be pre-planned in advance, many, many things throughout American history. Excellent, well-done book that I highly recommend. Jeff, any final comments before we wrap it up today, sir?
No, well, I'm always surprised by what I find in history, so you never do know until you start going over it. But it's very complicated. A lot of things are not as they were presented to us, so that's something to keep in mind.
Right, right. Well, a final comment on my part. American spies, their job is to find out what's going on. Communist spies actually are placed in position of power and authority to make things happen. Huge difference.
Yes. You're right. That is very different. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, I don't want to be cut off by the music. I want to thank you for being with us, sir, and look forward to having you back next Wednesday.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Okay, tomorrow we'll have Tom Berryhill. We'll be talking about my favorite product, the Energy Cleaner. We have open lines for much of the time tomorrow. And then Friday, we'll have Tom back talking about emergency survival communications first hour, and then my friend Dr. Phil Myers talking about health-related matters hour two. So that will be how we'll wrap up the week. That's it for the day. Get medical supplies, your energy cleaner, your essential oils. Now, while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never, ever give up your guns. Please do have a fun, safe, productive day. And God bless America.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.